This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Thank you for staying tuned to the region's biggest conversation. It's Monday, 9th May 2022. My name is Eno Ogbevire. Oh, don't forget, today, federal lawmaker and Rivers governorship aspirant under the PDP, Farad Agogo, is to be in court. He was in court last week before the holidays. Was it the week before the holidays? That was last week, right? And he's due back today in court. Last week, it was reported I was in hospital over some illness or some discomfort. So we'll keep our eyes on that one. But as I speak, there are about 50 presidential candidates and something going on with the CBN governor. We'll talk about that. My guest, Achuke Chude, joins me via the phone from Lagos. And there is something they call change blindness. I'm going to tell you what that is and then Achike will start off with the presidential aspirants. Is there an inside game? Is there an inside game? For the APC, the forms are 100 million naira, expression of interest and nomination. For the PDP, is about 50 million. And we've got this number of people buying. Some people have said it's atrocious for a country that is so poor and people can't even eat in some places. Change blindness is a term used by psychology, which politicians use as an advanced strategy tool. Human beings can only focus on so much. If you want to hide something from the people, throw several things at them, and then what you're really doing will go unnoticed until it's too late. Is that what's happening? And they're throwing several aspirants at us so that we don't know exactly what they want to do. Achike Chude, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
No, it's been quite some time. Good morning.
You're welcome. All right, so let's start with the presidential aspirants. When Nigerians think that they've seen it all, they wake up the next morning and somebody is joining the race. What do you think is going on there? And do you think there might be more, in coming days?
Well, the fact that some of the parties, APC, I think recently extended its deadline by a week or 2 weeks. So that gives you an indication that there will be more. The PDP has done the same thing again. So you're going to expect more people to declare to run for the presidency of this country and then to pay the required 100 million naira. So definitely there will be more. But again, you were saying something about maybe the politicians trying to throw so many things at us at the same time so that we'll forget to ask the relevant questions. We forget to concentrate on the things that really matter. We have seen that play out in Nigeria for such a very, very long time. After one major national crisis or controversy, once that one begins to wear out, something else comes in to replace it, and then we are once again fascinated by the new controversy and then forget the controversy of the past. So it's nothing new. Politicians do that, not just in Nigeria, all over the world, especially when they want to distract public attention.
Mm.
Especially, but most importantly, in places that matter, they are usually very careful. Where elections matter, where votes matter, they know that the people, especially the wiser people, the more educated people, tend to have a longer memory, so they will remember, and they remember them at the polls. But with regards to the people who are coming out every day to declare, look, there are all kinds of people coming out of the woodworks. Some of them, are potential or have a potential presidential candidates. They have the required visibility. They are in a position to actually make an impact. They have the resources to back them up and all that, and then they also have the spread in terms of acceptability to some extent. So those ones, we do not have any problem with them. But you have all kinds of people who know that they do not have any chance at all to make it to the presidency, to even compete as a presidential candidates on behalf of their party. And we're talking about the dominant political parties. Obviously, the smaller parties are not trying to get people into their fold to run without any financial burden on them, but it's just the main political parties, APC and PDP. Now, what is going on is that because these people know, and they know even within the structures of their political party, they know that these people are not serious presidential candidates. Then the question you ask yourself is, why 200 million naira, you know, at the party, knowing that you're not going to get anywhere? Because even the most optimistic politician among them, they know that they cannot get anywhere. So why are they putting the money into the parties? It's simple. What they are doing is not, you know, buying, you know, forms to run for the presidency. Of course, they will give them the forms as a matter of formality. But what they are doing is that they are contributing money to their parties. That's what they are doing. They are telling them to bring money. And perhaps maybe a lot of them are also worried about campaign contribution to the parties. Of course, there's the electoral law on campaign financing and all that. So what they want to do is to try to go through the back door and to violate these laws and contribute money to the party. Now, these monies, people have made all kinds of projections about these monies that are being, speculations about these monies that are being contributed, that it is business. And they have speculated that what usually happens is that by the time they make these contributions, at the end of the day, when the party does not consider them, and then they have to bargain, instead of the 100 million that they have paid in, that they have paid to the party, they will now bargain to be given 150 million. So they make extra 50 million naira cash. That makes some sense, really, but that is not the issue. They are not going to ask the parties to give them the money back. They are not going to, or the candidate that has succeeded, to give them the money back, because these candidates and the parties will need this money for the election. So what's going to happen is that if they are like promissory notes, they are going to wait with the belief that the party is going to go through and attain the presidency of this country. And then each of these people that have contributed money will be considered for the various boards and parastatals and ministries in the government and agencies. So that's what the whole thing is all about. Don't, for a lot of them, politics is business. Politics is not about, you know, service to the people. That's why their politics is not backed up by any strong ideological or reasonable ideological compass. They do not stand on any serious, you know, philosophical construct. That's why it is easy to move from the PDP to the APC when somebody annoys them in the PDP, and then move from the APC back to the PDP when somebody disappoints them at the APC. So they are not driven by, it's only a person that is, you know, that is blown by the winds, because he doesn't stand on any ideological, you know, leg that can be blown like that, just like the wind. So that exactly is what is happening. Don't forget that Chris Uba, in his problem with when he had these issues with Chris Ndige, said that it was business. That was why he got the government to agree to an irrevocable payment standing order. If so, so that at every month, the CBN will withdraw, is it a billion naira or 1.5 billion naira every month as part of payback for what he had done, you know, to install him as governor. And we cannot also forget, I think in the crisis between the late but strongman Adedibu and the former governor of Oyo State, I think it was Ladoja, he said when he had crisis with Ladoja, was trying to impeach him at the State House of Assembly, he said on national television, he said, am I not entitled to 25% of the security vote of Oyo State? Do I not deserve it? Am I not entitled to it? You know, so it is business for a lot of these people. And so the 100 million that you are seeing, you know, is an investment, you know, in the fortunes of the party. And that investment, you know, they are hoping they are going to recoup by the time it comes to power. So it gives you a very good picture of what is happening, that in spite of the crisis of governance that we're going on in this country, in spite of the insecurity in Nigeria that we have continued to witness, in spite of failures of governance in so many aspects of our national life, and the suffering of the Nigerian people, the university system is closed down and all that, the politicians are still carrying on as if nothing matters.
Yeah, but Ajike, we can't leave the first office vacant now, can we?
No, we cannot. But you see, you know, and again, I think we've talked about these things, you know, several times. You know, the issue is what kind of response do we expect from the people? You know, what kind of response? And so it's not just leaving matters in the hands of politicians. Nigerians already have an idea that these politicians are up to no good, that these politicians do not favor them, that do not seem to be committed to the issues of governance. That's why we are where we are today. So what we do, the people must have a response to what is going on. Because ultimately, it's more about the people. The politicians have nothing to lose. They don't have as much to lose as the people. They are the ones that send their children abroad. They are the ones that send their children to hospitals when they have medical issues and all that. They are the ones, first set of people that will flee this country when there is a monumental national crisis that engulfs every part of this country. And so it is the people who cannot do all these things, who cannot send their children abroad, who cannot, go abroad for medical treatment, who must remain in this country if there is chaos and anarchy. They are the ones that have the greater stake. Therefore, they are the ones that must do something about what is going on. Speaking with a friend of mine.
Ajike, hold that thought. The commercial has to play. We'll continue from this after that. Please stay tuned. We're not your info. Please stay tuned. We'll continue talking in a bit.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Thank you for staying tuned. We get back to the conversation. Ajike Chude joins me via the phone again from Lagos, and we're talking of presidential aspirants. Is there an inside game? Ajike, thank you for staying tuned. You were saying something before we had to go for that break.
Yes, I was talking about the response of the Nigerians. Look, we're in such a sorry state, I think it has taken a combination of bad political leadership and leadership and then bad followership to bring the country to its knees. It's not a one-way street. It's governance. Governance is about those who lead and those who are led. And those who lead are giving the authority to lead by the votes of the people who went out in an election, for instance, to cast their votes and to decide that these are the kind of people we want to manage our country. Once there's a failure, there is a check somewhere. Of course, the media, the fourth estate of the realm is also there to play a role in checking, excesses of government. But beyond that also is that ultimately it is about the people. And so when you have the people that are not conscious enough, do not seem to understand the dynamics that are needed so that they can play the right kind of role to engage in governance, they are going to have a problem. I was trying to say something about a friend of mine. I'm a doctor, a PhD at one of the nation's federal universities, who I was discussing recently about the strike, and he said, look, that it's unfortunate that Nigerians do not even seem to understand what exactly is going on. That they think is when you hear public discourse on the issue, you tend to hear Nigerians say, well, the government is at war, at loggerheads with ASUU. But this is not an ASUU thing or just a government thing. This is a Nigerian thing, because it is the Nigerian educational system that is being destroyed. Once you destroy it completely, there is nothing left for the country. We are already paying a very heavy price of what is going on in the north of the country. Why is it that most of the violence in Nigeria today is occurring in the north, and even the violence that we have in the southeast and maybe other parts of the country have their roots and their origin in the north? Why is it that they're coming down here? Because you have the greatest number of out-of-school children in the north. You have the greatest level of poverty in the north, and it is not because of governance. That's why we tell people that, look, governance, when it comes to the issue of governance, that we should look deeper. It is not about the ethnic, origin of a particular person. It is not about the religion of a particular person, or it is about the qualification of a person for office. Because if you make the wrong decision, then you are all in trouble. So we have seen what is going on, all kinds of people, charlatans. Unfortunately, I have to say so, going up and down, buying tickets, because they want to run for the presidency of this country, when we know that they do not have what it takes. Don't forget what the former president himself, Obasanjo, said. He said a lot of these people that are buying forms are candidates for president in a normal, under normal circumstance. And that is not to say that he is saying that he's a saint. He's not saying so. But the reality is that if you look at the antecedents of a lot of these people today, for those people who govern their states, who govern states and elsewhere, you know, as the top enhancement, the political enhancement in their states, if we had a proper, you know, institution ensure that there is check and balance, either at the level of the state house of assembly, or the security agencies, the police, the most importantly, the ICPC and EFCC, a lot of these people will be candidates for president, and yet they want to run for the presidency of this country. So we're in trouble if these same kind of people end up, you know, becoming once more president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. And we can't afford to make another mistake. 2023 is the final, for me, I think is the final, you know, test of whether we're going to begin to move forward for the very first time, or whether we now slip into complete anarchy. Because we can't continue like this as a country. We need to begin to make progress.
But you know, in the end, it's the delegates that will decide who the, you know, candidates will become. Perhaps induced, or perhaps...
In theory, that is what it is. The delegates declare and then decide. We all know that in theory.
Okay.
But in practice, because some of us have been involved, we have seen what goes on in the country. And a lot of you people, even those in the media, and people who are keen watchers of the polity, that the delegates do not have a say. They are there to fulfill all righteousness. The those who have the say are the governors that pick up, that selected those delegates. They are selected with a purpose, with a sense of mission. You understand? Because they are the ones that backroll this party. So that's what it tells you, that we have a lot of problems even with our democracy. A situation where the people themselves do not, you know, contribute anything to the development of their political party. But that these parties are being bankrolled by powerful people. He who pays the price must ultimately be paid it. So when you are talking about delegates, which delegates you're going to ask? They are there to fulfill, you know, a righteousness. And of course, you know that they all have their prizes. Delegates are not settled in naira; they are settled in dollars. I have seen this personally. I mean, being involved in monitoring some of the party primaries that we have seen in this, in some parts of the country. So we know what happens. So the delegates are bribed the same way voters are bribed during, you know, election. And that gives you an idea of where we are. Sometimes, you ask me for a solution, I might have all the solution. But what I know is that something has to give within the polity. Something radical, something revolutionary has to happen. The people themselves must be able for the first time to say, look, we stand for something. We saw a bit of it, a glimpse of it during the election that brought you Soludo. We were there. I was there as an observer under the civil society situation room. And at least for the first time, a part of this country, is it the women of Ebenebe, who were being given 5,000 naira each to vote in a particular manner, but rejected it and said no, that they understand that there are consequences. Every election, like the former American president says, elections have consequences.
Mm. So you are saying basically, are you there?
I'm listening.
So you are saying basically that the delegates' hands are tied, so they're going to play the tune that the paymaster dictates.
Let me tell you what is going on, the practical facts. And that is one, the governments, these political parties are being bankrolled by certain people. So the parties, in effect, belong to them. So we're only defeating when we say, of the PDP, we are members of the APC or any other political party and all that. If there is something about you can be a sleeping member, or you can be a dormant member, you can be an active member, an effective member.
Mm.
You know, and one thing that helps again is the fact that you are also contributing to the fortunes of your party. That gives you a greater say in what happens within the structures of your party when you are contributing, even if it's your widow's mite. Now, we had this situation in this country, especially during the time of the action group, when everybody at every level, ward level and so on, they are all paying party dues. You know, and the moment they begin to do that, the more they have a belief that they are also part and parcel, you know, they are part owners of the political party, and they have a greater say. And so there is this tendency for them to want to insist that certain things must be done as and when they should be done, because they are not being backroad. They know that they have put in their widow's mite, and they expect to see, you know, certain changes and reforms within those parties. So these delegates are handpicked by the governors. They are going to be shepherded into a particular place. They are going to be told what to do, and they are going to be given for the purpose of doing what they ought to do. That is what is going. That's what I got. And it's not just this is not hearsay. This is not what I read in the papers. This is what some of them have said who participated in it, and this is what I have also seen myself. And it is dollars, it's not small money. And that tells you that we're in a very big problem, because I think ultimately at the end of the day, all of this money that has been expended must be recovered, because for the politician, it's a business.
And this is a critical time, Achike, because we're seeing an incumbent president who is not going to return. He's not vying for office, so that makes it even more difficult and more critical.
Yeah, you see, I'm not saying that there is no silver lining, because I don't want to, you know, end this conversation, for instance, you know, in a dark way. I mean, in a way that does not give hope, in a way that does not inspire that, look, tomorrow can be better. I believe that this country ultimately will overcome its problems. I believe that ultimately the right kind of people will come along and would also push them. I also believe that even those people who are hell-bent on working for themselves would also be forced by circumstances once in a while to do the right thing. But that force, you know, of getting them to do the right thing must be generated from the people. It must come from the people themselves. Mm. The people cannot be passive, you know, and lax about their political future and just wait and sit down for people they know up to no good to do good for them or to do good by them. Okay. So they must also play a role. They must play a part. So once in a while, you see politicians, even that we have written off, come up and say, look, no, this is right. This is wrong. We need to begin to do the right thing. Because ultimately, it is costing us, and it has cost us, and it even cost us much more if we do not begin to change the direction of the ship of state.
Okay, so
this country cannot afford what has happened in the past 7 years, in the past 20 years, under the PDP and the APC, especially the APC at this particular point in time. The killings in the country have to stop. They must be addressed. You know, and we still believe that Nigeria as a country has the capacity to address the killings and the violence that is going on.
Okay.
I still believe that we can begin to look for ways to improve justice and equity in the way we do things, so that, you know, to make it difficult for those people who are profiting from the injustice that is going on through the killings and the insecurity that is going on, to make it more difficult for them to continue to do what they are doing.
Achike, so someone...
But it must start from somewhere.
Yeah, so someone is saying if the delegates are going to decide who emerges candidate, what then is the use of the PVC?
The use of the PVC?
Yes.
Look, you see, what we can only hope for, look, we are not hoping for a perfect situation. Perfection does not exist in the whole of humanity. And the fact is, I think it was the former American president, you know, Bill Clinton, that said, look, if perfection is the standard, no man will be president. I think some people were trying to vilify him, you know, and about him having a drunken mother and all that. But, you know, so that was a statement he made, and that was the truth. Now, but you see, if we can get 70%, when you talk about the moral disposition of a politician, when you talk about the commitment of a politician, when you talk about the activities of a politician who has been given public office, especially the position of a president of a country, we might be talking about maybe 70%, 75% perfection. Then we can wave up the remaining 25%, but that 75% would be enough for him to make the necessary changes that are needed to begin to put the country along path of development and progress. So that's what we're saying. So now, among these candidates that we're talking about, there are all kinds of people. There are charlatans here. There are people who are not fit to even handle a local government. And I'm not just talking about, you know, academic qualification. I'm also talking about moral you know, qualification. And that is also very critical. But because sometimes the moral disposition or the ethical orientation of a person might even be much more important than the academic qualification of a person. Because we have seen, you know, the very best of people with the best academic credentials in some of the best institutions in the world, Harvard, Yale University, and the rest, we saw how they ran down corporations in America. So that moment, at that point, it's not about it, but the moral, the ethical imperative of people. You know, so and that's why I'm saying that among all of these presidential candidates are people who are far better than other people. So people are downright criminals. Others are much better. I mean, based on what Obasanjo just said and what the EFCC said, don't forget that some of them who are running today, the former EFCC chairman under Noah Ribadu at the time said about 32 governors of PDP, APC, and is it MPP then or APC? So that was early on, you know, ACN, AMPP, PDP, and so on. About 10 of those governors are under investigation. Then you should remember. So some of these people are running election at this particular point in time. You know, so there are people obviously that are better than other people. We are only hoping that the process that would, you know, bring out some of these candidates would be such that the best of the bad ones, you know,
will emerge. Okay.
You know, to represent their political parties. And there are some that are actually good. There are some, a few of them that do not, who have been governors that have not been stained by any stigma of corruption. I don't need to mention anybody, but Nigerians should look inward and do their own investigation. You know, and realize that some are far better, but will they be able to go through the process of their political parties and emerge so that the delegates, you know, whether they like it or not, we have to vote for them.
Okay.
So that we can have something, a silver lining at the end of the day.
Okay. So, yes, was it on Saturday or the day before, Godwin Emefiele, current CBN governor, was saying that some farmers and patriotic Nigerians contributed 100 million for a ticket for him. And he said he thanks them. But he said, should I answer their calls and decide to seek presidential a nomination, I'll use my own hard-earned savings from over 35 years of banking leadership to buy my own nomination form. Says he has not come to the decision to run for the office of president. And he saluted those that bought the forms for him. So why is there an opera about Emefiele?
Yeah, in a way, I think the opera is legitimate. Because, you see, the government of Central Bank of Nigeria is a very, very, under normal circumstances, the CBN government in any part of the world is a very conservative one. The position is highly conservative, and it is a position that people who are highly apolitical have to occupy, because they have to make decisions. If they are run with the level of independence that a central bank of a country is supposed to be run with, then you realize that there are decisions that they can take that might not exactly augur well for even the ruling party, but that is absolutely necessary for the economic development of a country. You know, so when a CBN governor at this stage begins to have, you know, and it's not averse to what to the campaign, because this campaign has been going on for some time, and people must have told him that his posters have been coming up all over the country.
Branded
vehicles, you know, as somebody that's been picked to run for the presidency of Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And he has not done anything practical or practicable to discourage it. Then there's a problem. And so that is neutrality, you know, is compromised in the process. And that's why a lot of people are really upset about the Emefiele, perhaps more than other people, because she's not a politician.
Okay.
She's a technocrat.
All right. So the airlines operators threatened to shut down this morning, and by yesterday it was resolved. Nigerians are wondering how that was able to happen so quickly, and ASUU has been on strike for three months now.
It's unprecedented. We've not had this situation, and I think it is not something that they are doing to punish Nigerians. It's not punitive. I think it
is there anything, is there any strike at Chike that is punitive? Is there any such industrial action that is punitive?
No, I do not think so. But you know, the normal thing is that usually government latches onto such things to accuse them of being manipulated by politicians and
okay.
all that.
Okay.
And, you know, so I agree with you absolutely. Most of the strikes in this country, not all, have been legitimate. You know, have been right, have been, you know, the right, the proper way, you know, the right thing to do at the time, so that unions can protect their members. You know, so it was important for the airlines to also make that statement. They are reacting to the economic realities. They are reacting to operational difficulties. And you know, it is a different thing putting a plane in the air than putting a vehicle on the ground.
Mm.
If anything goes wrong, you know, the losses in terms of, especially human losses, are usually calamitous. So if they cannot operate, we don't want them to begin to cut corners, to cut costs just because they have to remain in the air. And so they decided that if nothing fundamental is done, then they are not going to put their place in the air and jeopardize the lives of the passengers. And I think it is the right thing, but the government obviously has come in. And the reason why they have come in is an irony, a very big irony, because they in the government, especially, you know, the elites, the political elites in this country, would have very big, it's a very big decision for them to move on road in Nigeria. Nigeria is no longer safe. So for them, they have the means, they have the money to fly themselves, you know, across the country, you know, and then they'll be able to not put themselves in harm's way. So it's in their interest, direct interest now, to try to resolve that issue as quickly as possible, so that whenever they have to move from place to place, they can fly above the danger spots in Nigeria. So that's part of the irony of it. Otherwise, they'll be forced to go by road.
Isn't it postponing the evil day? Because aviation fuel that used to be 190 naira per liter is now 700. Are they going to drop down the prices?
No, absolutely. It's about postponing the evil there. And again, we are paying for our sins. That a country that produces oil is not able to have the byproducts of oil, is not able, you know, to have a refinery that is working. You know, that is, so the thing has actually, our misadventure, more or less, if I will use that expression, has come to bite us. You know, there is no doubt about that. That is just a matter of time. Don't forget that when the train started running, train started running from Abuja to Kaduna to Abuja. At the initial stage, each of those trains was being accompanied by helicopters for the purpose of security. But they couldn't maintain it. They couldn't maintain the cost of putting an helicopter in the air each time the train has to move, because there are big people on that train. Eventually, the helicopter ceased, you know, escorting these trains, and look at what happened, the tragedy that happened eventually. So if they don't resolve the issue that has led to this threat by the airline operators to stop flying, you know, putting planes in the air, we're going to come back to
that
later. All right.
Because we don't want to do the right thing, the fundamental things.
Okay. Chike, we have to stop here. Thank you very much for your time.
It's my pleasure now.
All right, thank you for joining the conversation. This is where we'll stop this morning. Do enjoy the rest of our broadcast. We'll bring you updates as they unfold. My name is Eno Gbeviri. Good morning.